My scripture reading today is in Jeremiah. So let's turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 and start with the 10th verse. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words in Jeremiah. Heavenly Father, they should be words of joy and comfort to us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the word that you give to us, the truth that you deliver to all of your children. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. My text is verse 11 of Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. My message to you this morning is God's plans. And each one of us want to know more about what God has in store for us. And when we look at these verses that we read in Jeremiah 10, we find that from a personal standpoint, God is talking to His children, His people. And He is assuring them that He will visit us in verse 10. And at this particular point in time, the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah. And it is during the time in which Israel, that is the nation of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, have been led into captivity, into Babylon. And the people of Judah have not yet been taken. Jerusalem, in essence, is under siege. And God is speaking to Jeremiah about the situation. And there's many things going on at this particular point in time. The king of Judah is trying to hold out against the siege that is coming from the foreign armies, trying to take Judah and Benjamin into captivity, and not of yet. And certain of the king's advisors, the king is naturally not wanting to be taken into captivity, not wanting his life to be changed and that of his people. And of course, all of the people are wanting to resist. But we find that the king's advisors are telling him, in essence, that the Lord is going to deliver them and save them and there's nothing to worry about. They won't go into captivity, and the Lord will do this in a short period of time. The word to Jeremiah is contrary. The word of the Lord to Jeremiah is that Israel will, Judah and Benjamin will also fall to Babylon, and they will also be taken into captivity. And so, plan on it. Get ready. But we find that the king is still resistant to this, even though God's word is speaking to him through the prophet Jeremiah. There is always a separation point between those that are truly led of God and those that are not. And so we find that that is one of these situations in which God is speaking through his true prophet, Jeremiah, and yet others are trying to convey that God is speaking to them otherwise. God is saying to his true children in verse 11, he's saying, "For I know that I know the plans that I have for you," meaning his children, his true children. "Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And he's saying these words even as he's also saying, "You are going to be punished, in essence, for turning from me. There's a price to be paid by going against the commands of the Lord and in the opposite direction of the Lord. And the price to be paid here is that they will be taken captive. Jerusalem will fall. Jerusalem will be burned. The majority of the people will go away into the captivity." Why is all of this happening at this particular point in time? And we're talking about 600 or so, 700 years before Jesus Christ. It's because man started wanting to go his own way and reject God and, in essence, go against God and God's establishment. We find that there was a king of Israel, which was the northern 10 tribes, and a king of Judah, which was much less in scope, basically over the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin and some Levites. And that's about all that it was. And the kings were basically turning to idol gods and to idol worship. And even the king of the north, the king of Israel, had even decided to move the worship place away from Jerusalem and set up his own way of doing things, contrary to God's commands to the people of old, to Moses, Aaron, as to exactly what God wanted his people to do and how he wanted them to worship and where and when. But man started entering into it, wanting to do his own thing, leading the people astray, going directly against God Almighty. And you think you can do that without hearing from God? No, not in any life, not in any age. Not in this age. When you go against God and against his ways by saying that what is wrong is right and what is right is now wrong with the things of God. Condoning things that God says Some are abominations to him. That means he literally hates certain actions of man. Some of these actions are prevalent today that are abominations to God. And I would certainly point out homosexuality and lesbianism is abominations to God. The Word of God says it is. We better rely on it and we better know that that is true. Do you not think that taking the lives of unborn babies and abortions by the millions, what do you think God thinks about that? You know, I think at the very least, he would think in the same terms that he did toward the pagan people of taking their sons and their daughters and sacrificing them, burning them alive to the pagan gods. How can man get so far away from the will of God? How can we call what is wrong right, contrary to God? How can we look at God's Word and read such clear instruction and then as a nation go directly opposing that? How does God feel about that? What do you think He's going to do? I would say He's already started it. I would say this nation is in for big problems. Big time punishment. Because we are condoning things that God makes clear are abominations. We could also add getting so involved in our personal life and our occupations that we drift away from any natural love and affection toward our even our family members, our husband, wives, children. The natural affections are being negatively affected by the way that people's minds work and what what is condoned today. We need to know that God places special love on His family. God wants us to think of Him, in essence, as a family. That's how God portrays Himself and Jesus Christ, His Son, as a family. Why? Because He knows we can associate with that. We know what it is to love a son or daughter, to love our husband and wife. He wants us to be able to see this. That's how He wants the love to be between us and Him, between Jesus Christ, His Son, and us. He wants that family love and that family concern and care to be well known and us to be able to experience it. God has always had a plan for this earth, the heavens, and His people, the children of God, the ones He speaks to, the patriarchs of old, that some walked with Him, some talked with Him. He reveals some of His plans to them, to Abraham, to you and your seeds. I will bless all the nations of this earth. One of the great promises made to Abraham by God. Countless times God speaks throughout His whole Word. He lets us know His plan. It takes us wanting to search His Word to know it as well as we can, to know Him, to know what's important to Him, to know things that have happened in the past, things that are going on right now that is part of His plan, and things that are yet to be in the future, but yet His plans. And He lets us know them. There's a few mysteries. There's a few things that some would say are not revealed in the Scripture. There's a few questions. We won't know all the answers ever until we are changed to be like Jesus Christ. And then I believe anything we ask and any questions we have, the truth will be known. Our questions will be fully answered. Let's look at God's plans from a broad sense. We know that these scripture reading says that to the people at Jeremiah's time, then you will call upon me. Are we praying? Are we seeking God? How do we expect God to answer if we're not calling on Him? We have to recognize Him. We have to call upon Him. In verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You got to call on Him before you could expect Him to listen or do anything. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. What if you're really relatively insincere and not very dedicated, and you just carelessly, haphazardly call upon God for some things? Do you think He's going to honor that? Think He's really going to listen to you? With a lack of sincerity and dedication? I think you're in very much jeopardy there. You need to get your heart right, as these scriptures say. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. How much fortunes do you think have been lost in the last year with all of the fraud and the scandals and the failures and the... I would say multi millions, if not billions, of dollars have been lost. God is saying to us, each one of us, if you'll get yourself right with me and seek me, you'll find me, and I will restore. In verse 14, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. He's speaking to us today with these words. He's speaking to the children of Israel and the children of Judah at this particular point in time that I'm reading to you in the scripture here. He's speaking to them, and because they rejected God, part of their punishment was not only for Jerusalem to be conquered and burned, destroyed, and its people taken in captivity, but part of the punishment was that at that point, they would be driven into all the world. They would be exiled all across the earth. But God is promising, through all of the punishment, deservedly so, God is still saying, there will come a time when I will have mercy on you. You will call and I will hear. And I will answer. And I'll not only do that, I'm going to restore to you that which you once had. Your fortunes. First, God has always wanted an obedient people. A people that would listen to Him. React to what He is speaking. A people to whom He would bless. God has always wanted a people that He could teach His commands. And He could expect them to obey. He wanted Israel to be this people, the nation of Israel. He wanted them, He chose them to be His people, and wanted them to be a nation of priests to the whole world, going to the whole world, telling them of God and His way, and how to live, and how to receive God's blessings as you turn your heart and mind to Him. But the children of Israel constantly and continually found a way to go away from God. Found another way, their own way. Went away from God. God did not want that. He wanted them to be His true people. React to Him. Go into all the world. Let the world know His way. And try to bring others into the knowledge of Him and into His family. Number two, Israel as a people and as a nation would not and have not responded. He wanted a people and a nation that would listen and do His will. He wanted Israel to be that nation, but they would not. For any length of time. And number three, Israel and Judah are punished. They are sent into exile, into a foreign land. They are scattered over the whole earth. Number four of God's plan, plans, plural. God's plan was to bring the Messiah that was spoken of and prophesied in the Old Testament. God's plan was to bring the Messiah, the perfect sacrificial lamb, to bring His plan of salvation, the rebirth, the restoration, to make it available to everyone that would open up their heart and mind. Five, God, through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, reaches out to all that would obey and would open up their hearts and minds to Him with a change. It isn't without recognizing that you're away from God, that you're doing things contrary to God. And a change is required. Repenting of your wicked ways. And then setting your hearts and minds and feet on His paths. That's what God is wanting. He couldn't have it at the old time with the nation of Israel. They were constantly rejecting Him. Number six, even though it came that point in time in Jeremiah's day in which the whole of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, was divided into two nations, the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel, with separate kings and separate systems. Even after all of that, there is going to come a future time in God's plans that Israel and Judah will again reunite and be one nation and at one and at favor with God. It'll not longer, any longer be the two sticks as spoken of in His Word, but the two sticks will become together again, unite under one God and in favor with Him. They will ultimately see and accept, we're talking about God's chosen nation of Israel. We know that some of them don't accept Jesus Christ now as the Savior and as the Messiah that has already come. But they will ultimately see and accept God's plan in Jesus Christ. Number 7. God's ultimate plan is for all, and I do mean all, all in this earth, all that can be spoken of as Jew and Gentile, believers, God's ultimate plan is for all believers, both Jew and Gentile, to become obedient children of God. In essence, to be at one with God and Son, Jew and Gentile, believers, children of God, to become at one with Father and Son. One joyous family of God. That's what it's all about. That's why the Father is called the Father, and the Son is called the only begotten Son of the Father. That's why it's set up that way in God's Word. He wants us all to ultimately become one of His family, and we all to be one joyous, united family. No divisions. Division should be a very bad word to any Christian person. See what it did to the nation of Israel? See what it did in the division of making Israel separate from Judah? See that God's plan is to bring them back together again? Never wanting division. Never wanting the forsaking of Himself as the one true living God and the bringing in of abominable pagan practices. In conclusion, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, He was the first one to be a natural human being, flesh and blood, to die and yet rise again, take on the new spiritual body. Christ, the first fruits, and after those that are Christ at His coming. Now examine these words very carefully. Then comes the end. This is part of God's plan. Then comes the end, when He delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when He has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Isn't that something? God's plan. Death's going to be abolished. We are going to, as His children, live forever. Ever and ever and ever. Never to die. Ever to be with the Lord. Verse 27. For He has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when He says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that He is accepted who put all things in subjection to Him. And when all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself also will be subjected to the One who subjected all things to Him, that God may be all in all. Those are precious words right there. And those are important words in God's plan. It's going to come a time in which there will be one happy, joyous family of God's children. And we will be all in all. All in one. Father, Son, and the family of God. God's plans, and they are wonderful. If you would, stand with me in prayer.